microphone for the green lights of the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With this mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
You have not time warped, or maybe you have time warped here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, and Joe D, my wingman and XO. Joe?
Yes, and I just feel like I stepped out of the TARDIS with that one.
And we are listening to, bringing us in after the great Scotty Gosson combo, Sir Lord Baltimore.
I remember them guys from back in the day.
Now, Joe,
yeah.
I have told this story at
three
least...
Three Brooklyn boys.
Yeah, at least six times this week to how I got to play Sir Lord Baltimore, and it's all because of you. You know, the stuff for this show comes from different places all
right.
over the place. This one came from within, and it came right from you. You sent me an email that was kind of a cryptic reference to one of the songs. Actually, that song, which was called Helium Head.
Yes. Basically, I send Ray little snippets of my conversations with different customers, and some of them are just a little bit more difficult than others.
Yeah.
And this one particular guy, I decided he was a helium head. And for some reason, that was stuck in my head. I haven't made that reference since, like, 1972.
Yeah.
But sure enough, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, Sir Lord Baltimore. Who?
When I told people about this, I said, and everybody was around our age, and I told them, you know the way your mind works when you hear something and you go back to a reference that's sometimes very obscure like this, and they'll go, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, then you're going to understand this perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Because this album was made in 1970.
Right.
These guys actually opened for Black Sabbath.
Yeah, they were heavy units back in the day. They were a couple of kids.
Pink Floyd gave them a thumbs up. They played at the Fillmore. Cream Magazine actually credited them with being one of the founders of metal, which hadn't even happened.
Yeah.
But they also said that about
Humble. The godfathers of stoner rock.
Yep. Exactly. They also said that about Humble Pie, though. So I don't know who got the real credit. But yeah, that's Sir Lord Baltimore.
Baltimore, yes. Yeah, hopefully we have a little bit more in the library on that, Ray. We'll give you a flashback there.
I burned the album for you.
Oh, burned. That's the operative word here.
The only problem is when I pulled it out, the tracks are like, they were half and half. They weren't in line right, so I have the other track list in there. But
that's cool. Hey, listen, this goes right into the toolbox's CD player.
So the story I told you before about the music in my house when my wife came through, this is what I was listening to when she said, oh, this is what you were talking about. I'm like, yeah, 1970, good old rock and roll.
Yeah.
So
three kids, a lot of amps. Go for it.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
So anyway, today we're kind of gonna go for it as well. We're kind of playing it fast and loose. We may get a call from a couple of our buddies. It was SEMA week, of course.
Yes.
Out in Vegas.
Hopefully it'll be the post SEMA wrap up show.
We'll see. Yeah, we may get a few calls, but you can call us if you like at 516-572-7440. Check us out at motormouthradio.com. See what we're up to. Not much right now. We're going to be up to trying to have the candles lit later in the day at the house is what I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, let's face it, it's that kind of a day. You wake up, it's the wrong time, you're early, you're late, whatever. Oh, look at that, we flashed. Cool.
So let's
bring it
hit
on
this button and say hi. You're on the Motormouths.
How you doing, Ray? It's John Hicksville. How's it going?
Hey, John.
Hey.
How are you?
Good morning. Figured I'd ask you a question here.
Shoot.
As far as shifter bushings are concerned.
We're talking about like Hurst shifter bushings?
Well, sort of like this. It's I have an 89 Honda Civic with a 5-speed manual in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bushing that that they stock, well, they don't stock it anymore. So I have to look for something like aftermarket, some kind of bushing with a flange on it that has to go with a bolt that goes to it. Do you guys have any recommendations as far as where I can look online, or if there's something local that I, you know, would be able to bring the part over? And
It metal or was it plastic?
Well, the original one was it was a metal cylinder,
mm-hmm.
right? With the rubber bushing around it, and then another cylinder in it where the bolt ran through.
This is you're talking about the stock, the original shifter in the car, John.
Right, it's the original shifter. Right.
Okay, so
right.
It's OEM but, Japanese. It's not. We're not looking aftermarket.
Yeah. Well, what happened though is that there was an aftermarket shifter put in a B&N shifter.
Oh.
Right, and I originally purchased bushings for it based on the stock. Bushing was in the shifter itself, because when you move it over to the aftermarket shifter, you use a Honda part.
Okay.
Right.
You know, and then there's bushings on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what happened was that when I went to go replace the bushings, I found that wasn't in there, and they had put in two plastic nylon bushings on either end, you know,
right.
with the flange on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming a wear issue now, because it's basically nylon, which I don't mind. It's just that I want to replace it, you know, I can maintain it like that. But do you guys have any idea as far as where I can go for this? I went to a few auto parts place, AutoZone and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and they don't have anything like this.
You need
the help card? You're looking at the help stuff?
But I'm thinking if it's a B&M shifter, you need the part that fits that shifter.
Mm-hmm.
I fast-tracked this years ago. I actually made some for my Hurst shifter. I had the plastic split bushings in the Hurst shifter,
mm-hmm.
and I made bronze ones because I worked in a machine shop. So
right.
if you know somebody with a lathe, I happen to know somebody with a lathe, they could actually take, if you have an original bushing, they could
right.
take the measurements off
one,
of.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. I mean, a piece of bar stock, and you can, you know, and I would use bronze.
Right. Or even
or brass.
There are so many bushings out there, you know, door bushings, shifter bushings.
Right.
Like, I was figuring somebody went to help display, and put those plastic ones in there for you, you know, originally.
They are available, because I...
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I shoot you guys an email later on or something like that, you'll be able to give me some more further information on it?
Yes.
Or?
Shoot us an email, John.
We'll research, yeah.
Include pictures, if you can, of original and what you have. Whatever you can, what I'm saying is the more documentation you have to give us, the more help we have to help you find what you need, yes.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, I do have the Honda parts thing where it shows you the original one and the part number and everything else, too. You know, and then the bushing that's in there now, it's actually in the car. I'd have to take it out. You know, I'll probably be doing that probably in about 2 weeks or something like that.
And the Honda one's discontinued?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So the Honda bushing works in the B&M shifter? Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Well, in either case, it's something that I can put in there. It doesn't matter whether if it's another nylon, you know, something that I can maintain it. Like I said, it was originally in the car. And the only reason why I found out about it is that the bolt came loose, and when I went to go look at it, and the bushing that's in there is not B&M doesn't show that particular bushing, so I don't know where this bushing came from. So,
to make sure I understand you, the Honda bushing does work if you're able to get it.
Yeah, because what that I have is that B&M then sells the side bushings, you know, the rings and stuff like that for either side. I have that already.
Okay.
I actually purchased them.
Right.
And like I said, I went to replace it with the idea that the original Honda bushing itself was missing.
Right.
Now, not missing, but replaced with
John,
did you try Googling the part number?
I just did that too, yeah.
I was going to say, if you can send us the name or the part number of that B&M shifter, because, you know, the other thing is call B&M and ask them too if they have, you know, just because they may not have the part listed, they may have it available.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I figured I'd, you know, I'd get a hold of you guys first.
Yeah.
I was actually going to call them probably tomorrow or something like that.
Okay.
Because they don't even, on the parts thing, when they show you this particular shifter, they don't show this particular nylon shifter that this other person put in before.
Right,
so,
okay. They may have updated it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
So. Do they offer a rebuilding service like Hurst used to do, you know? Did you see that on the website by any chance? Or?
No, I didn't go that you know, that path yet.
The reason why I'm saying this is because if they offer that kind of service, they probably got a couple of bins full of those bushings that even though they don't sell them, as a regular over-the-counter part number, let's say.
Right.
You know, if you call them up, look, I got this kind of shifter, this and that. I need four bushings.
Right.
And they're like, next thing you know, there's an envelope at your door. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're cool like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that, too. Like I said, I figured I'd touch base with you guys first.
Send us the email, please. motormouthradio@ncc.edu.
Right.
And let us know. We'll get back to you, John, and let you know whatever we can come up with.
Yeah, we're definitely bushing league.
Yeah, we'll definitely see if we can solve this.
All right. What I'll do is I'll give them a call first and see if they have it. And if they do, then I'll send you that email. You know, I'll let you know then, too, also, too.
Great.
Fantastic.
Thanks, John.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
And that's, Joe, that's kind of what we can do here. We used to do that a lot in the past, and then the callers got away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really looking for help with finding, sourcing out a part or sourcing out a...
Luckily the internet has made things a little easier.
Yeah.
But, every once in a while, you still got to know somebody. I know a guy who knows a guy. And
we all know our guys.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let's see which guy we got on the line. We'll go back and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Joe. It's the Bronc. How you guys doing today?
Hey, Bronc.
All right.
Good. I was just listening to a phone call from one of the callers, John, about a bushing.
Right.
I found I got lucky a couple of times. Ace Hardware. They have in their bins there different types of bronze bushings, different diameters, ID, different OD, and different lengths. And as Ray mentioned, if you know somebody with a lathe, right, you get one as close as possible, slightly oversized. And it's a very easy machining at that point because then you have the ID OD on it, and then you can cut it to size. And what I would recommend you do, if you did go that route instead of going crazy trying to track one down, right, you may get lucky, you never know, is that you buy two of them, and then you have a backup in the glove compartment. And I found that helps out a lot. So it's a direction, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, stuff like that, you definitely want to keep a spare because you know it's going to wear out, you know.
You got it.
At least you can control the situation at that point.
All right, and definitely I would say go with the bronze as opposed to nylon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not even a question there.
For sure.
All right, so anywho, I got the final installation of the old car disease, the final chapter that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Would you like to hear the closing?
Does it end with death?
Yeah, well, for us, maybe.
You're going to like it, but
I'll probably do it to us at that point.
I know the listeners won't because they've voiced that concern, but we make it quick so that we don't get hate mail.
Okay. All right, the summer's gone, and this is bringing into the closing season when you put your old car away for the wintertime
mm-hmm.
and with the withdrawal you go through. So very briefly, summer's gone, and the old car's the garage for the winter. You're suffering from withdrawal. Some of your fellow junkies stop over and bring beer and brownies as you engage in a very polite and correct conversations. Debates concerning history, innovations, overdrive, air conditioning, brakes. And some smartass has to pull out a cell phone and look up the answer and spoil the debate. On other days, you have to go into the garage and take a hit to the old car. You remove the dust cover, wipe off the imaginary dirt. If that's not enough, you clay bar the paint and re-wax it just to keep from getting the shakes. On other days, you change the air in the tires because they don't roll well on stale air. If the temperature is above zero, you open the doors and start the engine to circulate the oil and coolant. If oil and coolant are in exercise, they become stale and lumpy. Next, you run all your hand tools through the parts washer to remove imaginary dirt and grease. The leather needs another coat of aloe to keep it soft. You shampoo the carpets, you clean out the inside of the tailpipes, you clean all the electrical connections, replace the fuses, and once these chores are done, you start all over again. One fine week, the roads are dry, so on a Saturday, you take your Jewel out for a short drive. At the local coffee shop, you connect with other junkies, and you have your fix for the day. They ask about the new sucker for the summer. You tell them he's looking into a project. Each offers his car for sale to the new guy. On the way home, an idea germinates in your mind. I could sell him my car, and then I could restore another. You contact the guy, offer to sell the car, for what you invested in it. His reply is, way too much. You know, eventually the two of you will make a deal, and you will take a big loss. Your wife catches you out in the backyard with some steaks and measuring tape. She asks you, what are you doing? You say, you're considering building a shop for your hobby so she can have the garage to herself. Her reply is, no way in hell. You're not going to take out the rose garden. You slink back into the garage, polish the brake drums, and without a beer in the cooler, which is now filled with $100 bottles of wine for your wife, you remember the country song, life ain't much fun since I quit drinking. Your sucker calls with a cash offer for your car, about two-thirds of your investment, and you take the deal. Things are good until you walk into an empty garage and you feel like you're lost and start to shake. Late at night, you sneak on a computer and look for a new project. Once you get caught, the wife removes the Wi-Fi and you're lost. One of your fellow junkies offers you one of his projects, which is almost done, basically 10%. And when the Hulk arrives in your house, the manure hits the spreader and the thing goes back. You're depressed, you get fired from your law firm, you get divorced, you take a job in a local restoration shop for half of what you're making, which barely covers child support and alimony. It is like living in a rehab facility, but you're able to get your fix for a day. Finally, life isn't bad living under the freeway overpass in the summer. Well, fall approaching, you'll have to find a boiler room without a lock on the door. Mothers bring their children by the shop and say, just look at him. This is what will happen to you if you mess with old cars. The end.
All right, and with that, it is the end, because we need to take a break. We thank you for that wise wrap-up for that, Brock. Right. Everybody is happy
a
now.
A cautionary tale, to be sure.
It goes, right. And just think back, how many times we get caught up in that? You'll sell one, and you say, okay, I'm ready for another one.
Got it.
Well, anyway, listen, have a great week. I know you got to run,
right,
and
Brock.
It's always fun. You guys take care of yourselves, and I will talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, Brian,
thanks.
Thank you.
Take
bye-bye.
Care, guys.
All
right.
With that, Joe, we are going to take a break. We're going to listen. Get your bass tuned up because you got to play along right. with this. We're going to listen to the sweet sounds of John Garner on lead vocals and drums. When have you ever seen a drummer sing lead vocals?
Yeah, it's pretty tough to do.
Lou Dombra on guitar and Gary Justin, your counterpart, on bass. And I tell you something, it don't get much better than this from 1970. This is the title track from Kingdom Come.
As in Blown 2?
Sir Lord Baltimore's
premier album. Yeah, that Blown 2.
Let's kick it. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Frank Sinatra.
Bing Crosby.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Dean Martin.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
We're making a list of artists you don't hear on the radio anymore.
Wait, I know where you can hear all of them and more.
Where?
Right here on Standard Serenade. Join me, Glenn DeMille, for 2 hours of great songs by the great stars. Saturday afternoon at 5 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
90.3 WHPC reminds you that smoking causes immediate damage to your body, which can lead to cancer, heart disease, smoke, asthma, and respiratory diseases such as emphysema and chronic bronchitis.
If you've tried to quit before and it didn't work, try again.
If you or someone you know wants free help, visit cdc.gov/tips or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
On the brain, eyes want only for to sleep.
Oh, I tell you, boy, I'm hearing like, you know, the advent of prog rock, the advent of heavy metal. I'm hearing grunge core in there. I'm hearing grind rock.
I'm not hearing anything because my eardrums are blown out. But I love it.
When do you hear a drummer?
I hear. Listen to this guy, too.
You know, I even said to you in an email, I kind of heard a little bit of Dio in there, you know, mm-hmm. some early Dio
oh, yeah.
stuff. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Sir Lord Baltimore.
We're flashing again.
All right. Let's go back to this and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths, Ray and Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Christian, what's
hey,
happening?
Christian.
Did you get my pictures I just sent you?
Well, no, I was kind of engineering things
like,
during the break
we're
here.
We're doing
so.
Radio stuff here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it's hard, but I'll see. What's going on?
No, I just went up to Yonkers. I picked up a 1986 GSXR 1100 Suzuki.
Ooh.
Wait till you see the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Ray just showed me
that
one.
Is sweet.
Whoa.
Dual headlights, huh? They didn't.
Look
they,
at that, right?
That's interesting, man.
Did they come that way?
A cream puff.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So what's on the agenda for that baby?
Billy Joel's museum, hopefully.
Oh.
Serious.
How about a ride around the North Shore?
Oh, I'm going to ride it. Don't you worry about that.
Okay, cool.
That's no bad.
I make my way on a 95 here. Holy cow, this is nuts. Anyway, pretty nice bike, yeah.
Okay,
find them this mint.
So now wait, you didn't pick that up as a customer's bike. You picked that up for some other reason, I guess.
Well, Orient Express just bought it.
Okay.
And it's going to be up for sale shortly.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Once I get it up and running and everything. But
how long has it been down and not running?
Well, the last inspection section is 2005. So it runs.
Okay.
I just run it on 3. You know, I got to go through the carburetors and stuff.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's a real nice addition.
Nice find.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's nice.
As long as it doesn't turn into Bronx Article.
Yeah, right.
I just got back from Disney World.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I went down for Halloween.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a video of the amphibia cars.
Oh, interesting. All right.
All right. I was very impressed with Disney World, and I was impressed with the fact that the amphibia cars that they have at Disney Springs that they give people rides in the lake are still the original ones, and they're in great shape.
That is really cool.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
They stay with them, huh? They maintain them?
Yeah, no, you could smell like the fuel, like they smell old, they look like they're really well taken care of. They're just all original ones.
I love it.
So I'll send you that video too.
Yeah,
but
that'd be cool.
Disney World should run the country, because I tell you, that's a well-run machine over there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, those guys don't mess around.
And it goes 24/7.
I mean, it doesn't matter, right? If it's Trump or Mickey Mouse, who cares?
Nick, they do go 24/7. I know, like behind the scenes at night, they paint every single night. They're painting something just to keep it fresh.
I did the Chevrolet test track ride,
yes,
at Epcot.
That's a lot of fun, yes.
And that was pretty cool, but I didn't realize after I got off the ride, I ended up in the Chevy dealership.
Product placement, yeah.
So my daughter actually went right over to the Impala, of course.
Nice.
And it's actually, the new Impala is pretty nice. So I'm impressed. But I'm going to let you guys go. I'm about to get on the Throg's neck here with this motorcycle in the back of my truck. And
all right, Christian.
I'll catch up with you guys.
All
I'll
right.
send the amphibia cars. I'll talk to you guys later.
Excellent. Thanks. Safe travels, man.
All right.
You got it.
All right, that was great, our good friend Christian. You know, Joe, something I want to mention that is this time of year, it's my public service announcement to people. You know, everybody's coming down with colds and flus and things like that, and you know, they're sniffling. Well,
rocking pneumonia, boogie-woogie flu.
That
yeah.
too, but it's also time to keep your car's nose clean. I kind of coined that phrase a number of years ago.
Ah.
And I'm not talking about the nose, like where the headlights are, but the air intake by the bottom of the windshield.
Yes.
Every hood I open, I take the
air. It's like Wild Kingdom in there, right?
Yes.
You know, poly noses and pine needles and,
yeah, and
small animals grooving
yeah.
with the pick. And
I'm a big fan. I'm always there with the air hose blowing the stuff out, because that's the air intake for all the air that enters your passenger cabin going through the passenger air cabin
Which
filter.
Is a good way to, like, give your blower motor a break.
It is.
And your blower motor resistor.
Exactly right, because if you restrict one end of it, that motor works harder and it can't produce full output, and you have problems. So just, you know, I, like I said, every car I work on, I open the hood, even if I'm not doing something under the hood. And you can usually tell. Just look at your car. Look at the edge of your hood by your windshield wipers. If you see leaf stems and things, open the hood. You'll be surprised what you see in there.
Oh,
and,
God,
and some
yes.
some people who never open their hood, you need a rake to get in there and get that stuff out.
Shovel. All kinds of stuff. And
I like to use the air hose.
That stuff gets into the cabin air filter, too, on the new, on you know, not-so-old cars.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And like the two cabin air filters I did on my family cars, my wife and my daughter over the summer, I saw how filthy they were, and both of them did see increased airflow through the vents after I changed those filters.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people come into the shop, and they're like, my air conditioner doesn't blow, or my heater doesn't blow. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I go and I find the cabin air filter,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think you're supposed to be able to work them with a chisel.
Right. No.
Did you know even though you had one? No.
Right.
And then you pull that thing out, and you you know, just try it without the air filter for a second just to see. And all of a sudden, the thing blows up a storm. You put a new one in there, and off you go for another 5 years.
I tell people, everybody knows the old particle dust mask that you wear when you do things.
Yeah.
So you say, okay, you put that on, you can breathe fairly freely. It does impede some of the breathing, but now, you know, cover that with tape and try to breathe. Like our old co-host Mikey T used to say, if I laid you on the ground, opened your mouth, and tried to pour a can of Foster's Lager down your throat, like as fast as I could, he goes, you wouldn't be able to swallow it. Why? It's because there's no air. You need to have ventilation.
No, the air movement. It's either that or you got some interesting apertures elsewhere in your head.
Right. Well, yeah. So clean that out. And then I have another tip. We'll get to that after we get back to the phones and say there's nobody there. So we'll. The other thing is,
don't you
of course,
speak dial tone. That guy was trying to say something.
I think so. No, I don't. I that's usually what I hear in my head when I'm trying to think of things. The other thing, my other tip that I'm always on is this time of year, all times of year, but now especially when the temperature's dropped, check the tire pressure in your car's tires.
Now is the time it goes down a couple pounds due to the drop in temperatures.
Well, the formula is this: for every 10-degree drop in temperature, which we've seen overnight, we've seen 20-degree drops. For every 10-degree drop, you lose 1 PSI of air pressure.
That is correct.
And for every 10-degree rise, you'll gain 1 pound of air pressure. Not 1 PSI, 1 pound. So on a day, like if your tire pressures were a little low to begin with, and then, you know, we actually had a day a couple weeks ago where we saw like a 25-30-degree drop in temperature overnight. That's 3 pounds you dropped. So if your tires were supposed to be a 32, and you can find this information by opening the door, the driver's door of the car, and look on the pillar where the door closes, where the striker latch is. There's usually a sticker on there that tells you what the recommended pressure is.
Yeah, and you know, you shouldn't guess. You shouldn't say, my other car is 28. Yeah, because some of these cars run 35 pounds, 33 pounds, whatever. And
our cruise is 35, yeah.
Right, right. Not to mention that if you have TPMS, the sensors are calibrated typically at a 25% threshold.
Right. Well, we had gone through that, too, because my daughter's RAV4. She got in touch with me last month and said, Dad, the light is on, the TPMS light. She didn't know what to call it. And I said, do you have a flat? And she goes, no, the tires don't look bad. So she came over and I checked them, and I found that she was like 24. It was like 24%. She was like, with like 2.5-3 pounds off. And I ran it by you, and you said, yeah, that's in spec for that car.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me is that it's not universal across the range. All manufacturers can have different percentages and different
right, right. Yeah, strategies. That 25% thing is something that I've come up with by experience. But yeah, by all means, it's in your owner's manual. Also, where the tire pressure placard is, which, you know, sometimes it's in the glove compartment, sometimes it's in the door frame.
Usually
sometimes it's in the trunk.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they can put it wherever they want. However, you should know where it is, or at least memorize it or write it down so that way you can check.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't wait for the little light to come on. You know what I mean? That's not good.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it comes on and you got like 3 pounds in it, and you're like, what's that flop, flop, flop noise I'm hearing? You know, right. So we might as well just get it all straight at one shot. And, you know, sometimes people with TPMS now are like, I ain't got to check my tires. The car will tell me.
You know,
until
it's the same thing when people think they have, well, I have ABS brakes. I don't have to worry about skidding in the bad weather. I'll be safe. I'll stop.
Right.
Well, they don't understand that just because you have something that helps prevent it doesn't mean it'll prevent it in all instances.
Right. And the thing is, if I hit something, the airbags will go off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the insurance company won't quite agree with you. And if you get hit just right or something goes wrong and the bag doesn't deploy, or you're in an area where it's not protected.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? It's better off just to avoid the accident.
So like I tell people, if you don't have the wherewithal and the means to adjust and check your own tire pressures, if you go into a shop that you deal with, they'll probably do it for you. I know the tire guy that I deal with over here, it's a dedicated tire shop. I've heard him tell his customers, listen, stop by in a month. They offer free. They'll check their customers' tire pressures for free for them as a service. You know, send a guy out, and it literally takes them, you know, 2 minutes to go around that car with a gauge and check them, and then maybe adjust as needed. And you should know how to do it yourself. People used to know how to do this, but you can also go in and have it done. I know at the shop, when I'm down at the shop working, although we got the bell that goes ding 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 ding, which is kind of cool. It takes me back to the old school. I always kind of well
oh,
up.
Yes.
But I've had women come in and say, can you check my tire? It looks low. Yeah, it looks flat. Well, lady, you know, what the heck?
Seriously.
So, and then we do that. You know, okay, I'll put down the thing that I'm doing, the wiring job. Don't worry, I'll lay the harness over here. It won't go anywhere. And I'll put the soldering iron somewhere where it won't burn. And I'll come back to it. So anyway, we're gonna be talking with Kendra from Cruising with Kendra from about her SEMA exploits.
Ah, excellent!
Coming up in a second, we're gonna take a bottom of the hour break. But I want to mention, just like checking your car's nose to make sure it doesn't have a cold or flu, you can check on WHPC for Herbally Yours, the show that airs on Tuesdays at 3:30 in the afternoon. Hosted by
not those herbs, Ray.
No, well, hosted by the
I was disappointed.
They're natural. The natural nurse, Ellen Kamai. She's got a great show. She focuses on current issues in natural health, such as natural foods, herbs, essential oils, and mind-body techniques. Tune in. You'll love it. Joe, I am going to now get my drum kit ready. I'm going to tune up a little bit, loosen
up. Yeah, let's see what you got.
And we're going to come back with Kendra in a few minutes. So let's go back to a little more. We're going to sit in with Sir Lord Baltimore, and we'll be back with Motor Mouth Radio.
I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC. Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs the Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
We're headbanging, head rocking. We're doing all sorts of crazy stuff here on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino,
hey,
Joe D.
Blowing.
And we're on with none other than Kendra.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Wow, you still have a voice. I'm impressed. Highly impressed.
You tell us. You're in Vegas.
Wow. So are you back home now, Kendra?
No, we're leaving this afternoon.
Oh, you're really stretching us out for every last minute, aren't you?
I don't want to leave.
Well, you can always relocate.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
SEMA.
Well, listen, we've been following your exploits from Twitter and Facebook all week. You and Lou and Lewis and all you guys, you know, everybody's been shaking hands, meeting babies, just doing stuff. Can you synopsize it for us, or is that even possible?
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, it's so hard to describe. It's almost like, it's like Disneyland, and you look over here, you look over there, there's something, you just can't stop looking, and the amount, I would recommend everyone comes to SEMA, the amount of people that you get to meet, the industry is all here. And after this week, I feel like I got a really great introduction to the industry, and I'm so thankful for it.
You see it from a different angle now, right?
Yeah.
Did you, I'm sure you made quite a lot of contacts. Did you get, do you have any new things lined up for Cruising with Kendra for your show?
Yes. I can't talk about it quite yet, but let me just tell you that this trip changed everything.
Nice.
No kidding.
Oh, really? Wow, that's a pretty big statement.
Wow. It is a big statement, but there's the amount of people that we were meeting and the level that they are in the industry, this will be different.
So I know, any question we could ask is either going to be so mundane that it's not going to be, you've heard it a million times, or it's going to be unanswerable, but I'll go with an unanswerable. Who were some of the most notable people to you that you've seen that made the biggest impression on you?
So I was, I met Bogey from All Girls Garage, and she was really cool because she's all about, you know, empowering women and getting the ladies fired up. We saw Jay Leno. That was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because he came in, like, on the tail end of everything.
That's great.
I mean, everybody was there. You know, Hot Rod Magazine's there. Velocity's doing live broadcasts. It's like every like aspect of the car industry is there, and you can like talk to them, and it's amazing.
You got to meet our good friend Dina Parisi as well, didn't you?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think I got a I think she sent a picture. Dina posted a picture of.
Oh, cool.
I'm pretty
okay.
Sure. That's it. I know you can't even keep track of it. There's so much going on.
It's all week. My brain is fried. I'm sorry.
It's probably gonna take you a week to sort it all out once you get back.
The question: how do you plan on decompressing and getting back into a regular schedule? What are you gonna do?
I don't. Last night we went to. We hung out with Lewis Lee,
right.
And we had some chicken wings. So we kind of like. Decompressed and calmed down.
Nice.
But I mean, it's impossible because I mean, you walk like over 30 miles. We walked over 30 miles.
Wow.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I know you got to meet, of course, Lou Santiago, our head honcho, chief cheech in charge on Playing in Traffic on Thursday night. You got to meet with those, with him and Lewis. That's great. Very good. Cool.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Was there anything that you expected to see or hoped to see that you didn't?
Yeah, I'm actually really bummed out. I didn't see any international scouts.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's your thing. I know.
Yeah.
And I'm getting so much blowback because I posted a picture of me with a Bronco because, and I'll be honest, it was the closest thing, and it was a cool 4x4, and all these scout guys were, like, giving major heat.
Oh, yeah. You're a traitor, right? Yeah. Listen, yeah.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
That's part of the trauma is that you don't see a scout on every street corner anymore. So like, hey,
you did the best. You did the best you could do. I give you credit for that. Come on.
Now we'll have to dig one up and restore one.
Yeah, all right. Oh, that's cool. Great.
Well, guys, I hate to cut this short, but I actually have to go interview Elvis.
Oh, cool.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Put on your blue suede cruising shoes and go interview Elvis. And Kendra, keep in touch. I want to follow up with you in a while.
Yeah.
Once you decompress, and we'll keep in touch that way.
Sounds great. I'll actually see you on Thursday night. I'm going to be on Playing with Traffic.
Excellent. We'll see you then.
Playing in Traffic, sorry.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Kendra.
Bye.
So long. That was Kendra from Cruising with Kendra. You can go to cruisingwithkendra.com.
Right. She's still dumbfounded. Oh, I mean, the first trip to SEMA, I honestly have not attended SEMA myself. But
me neither.
People that I know that have gone pretty much come back with that reaction.
Yeah.
So she's pretty much following the usual route there.
And it's been ramped up over the years. It's just gotten bigger and better and crazier from what I understand. So,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. And they also have... right before it, or right after it, is the more straight up aftermarket show, the AARN or something like that. I can't remember the acronym right now, but you know, we're like the straight up aftermarket companies. There's a lot display the stuff like my company standards there,
right.
And a lot of good.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you've seen this. It's the Standard Pro Training Company magazine. That came inside my edition of Motor Magazine.
Right, yeah.
And they are doing pro training things now.
Our guys are very big on information. They always have been. They used to have they still do have a group of teachers that go out there and they hold the seminars.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like one night or maybe two night seminars. They always felt that it's important that that the customers, that the mechanics have... knowledge to go by, because it also helps the industry too, because it cuts down on misdiagnosis, it cuts down on a lot of the misinformation, helps you sell more, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And it also, like, a lot of stuff that gets sent back unnecessarily, it cuts down on that too, so it works for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, the seminars that they give at that at the aftermarket
the one you went to in the one that was upstate, or was it Jersey Pier? Where the hell was that one?
That was in Mayo Pack. That was the technician service, TST.
Right.
This is on a much grander scale with much more teachers. It's it's amazing. So not only can you like check out that end of the industry, you could also see you could also get some good education, too.
Yeah, and that is the key. You know, we've talked about that all the time. In a shop, I find myself reverberating this to people. Information is key, and knowing how to get the information is key. You know, we're kind of spoiled around here for the last few years because we just call you and say, hey, Joe, what do I need for this? And you know, you always come through. You always have that right information. So it's...
I can't take all the credit for that. That's thanks to people like Mitchell all day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying you're the keeper of the flame.
Logic.
You have the ability to access that.
I'm a bit of a bookworm, even though now it's more of a screen bug.
Right.
You know,
you
have to have that information available to you in a shop.
Yeah.
And if you don't read up on how stuff works, how do you know if it's broken?
You know, it's interesting because that, I don't know if I covered this last week when I did that, the brake job on my wife's car on cruise, and I had those torque to yield bolts.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Mike about it, and I explained to him how, you know, the bolt will have, American bolts have hash marks on the bolt to denote mm-hmm. the hardness, and a metric bolt has a number,
right.
8.8, 10.9, whatever mm-hmm. that denotes, again, the hardness, and then you have the pitch, the thread pitch, and you have the length. I said, and that's how you call out a bolt. You can get a replacement. So, and then we talked about torque to yield and why those bolts did not have that spec because
it goes by angle.
It's going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
big old stretch there.
And when I had the bolt out of the bracket, I showed it to him, and he says, yeah, there it is, 10.9. And okay, he learned a new piece of information. He took the ASE test the next day.
Really?
And he passed it. And he sent me a text and said, hey, Ray, he goes, there was torque to yield stuff on that test and the 10.9 stuff. He goes, that all came into
that
place.
That all figured into it, yeah.
And I said, you see what you can learn by doing just a simple brake job?
Yeah,
it's like
exactly, yeah.
And that's the thing, being open to the information and wanting to learn stuff. I mean, we both, Joe, let's face it, we both know guys, and we've talked about them, who learned what they learned and they think there's no more room in there. They can't learn nothing else. They're done.
Not in the car industry these days because stuff is constantly updating. Stuff that you knew about from 10 years ago, those systems are gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... And as the new stuff comes out, you kind of got to make room. I mean, that's half my fun. Is like I went last week to visit a friend of mine in the shop who has a 72 Tornado with a idling problem.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is pretty sharp, but he's younger.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, wow, my firing KVs are like ridiculous. And you know, he had the scope on. I'm
what
like,
was it, like 25K? Or
yeah, it was up there. It was like 19K. Something like that. Is
okay.
Like, wait a second. I'm just like...
Just back up for a second. Explain what we're talking about. What is that?
Okay, firing voltages.
And K. What's this K stuff you're talking
K
about?
K as in KV, as in kilovolts, as in thousands of volts.
K is... Yes,
your typical thousand. Ignition system on most cars is going to take about 8 to 12,000 volts or 8 to 12 KV fire the spark plug.
If I can geek out a little more, just a half a step more,
mm-hmm.
K is actually 1,024. Just
really,
just to be a little bit geeky about it.
I suck at math, so I'll take your word for it.
But you know what? Ever since I learned it, they average it out at 1,000, so it's easy. So
right. So when I get zapped by 1 KV, mm-hmm. I'm really getting zapped by 1,024 volts,
give or take, depending on your.
Oh, so that's why it feels so much worse than I thought it was. Okay.
It's dependent on a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the ground side of the circuit,
which
it's you because you're feeling it.
What kind of shoes I'm wearing that day?
The shoes, well, it can ground through your hand. Anything that's touch and mm-hmm, ground, and, mm-hmm. and actually the body's resistance and capacitance actually alters that balance sheet. But you know what? You feel it nonetheless.
All I do is I go, whoa! And next thing you know, I'm like 3 feet away from the car.
I remember the first time I got an HEI zap.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my right hand on the fender and the left hand touched, you know, the coil. And literally, I did the worm. I did one of these where I went, whoa! Because the shock went up my arm, across my shoulders, down my other arm, and I just wailed with it. It was like, whoa!
Yeah, that's quite... The first time you feel that's... Oh, yeah.
Better than coffee!
Yeah, that's... definitely.
Nitro blast!
It's definitely a life-altering experience, at least for that moment.
Right.
But this particular guy... He was like, well, I got an ignition problem. I'm like, well, okay. And because he didn't know what to do. They're 72. There is no diagnostics on this thing. Absolutely none. You are on your own. So basically, I just put my hand over the carburetor. The car straightened out.
Okay. All right.
And so the KVs dropped.
Okay.
And what that told me was that a lean mixture, which takes more voltage to fire, the cylinder was lean, which means that the coil was working harder.
Right.
And
so you're reaching actual, it by
yeah, because rich or lean, you know, the air fuel ratio, if you're lean, as we always say, that could either be not enough fuel or too much air.
Correct.
So what I did was I kind of cut down on the air and ended up being a carburetor problem. Ended up using the smoke machine on it.
Just like a brake pull could be a caliper or a brake shoe staying on, or it could be the other one not working.
Right.
So you got to always think like what's happening on the other. Mm-hmm. You always got to think black and white, A and Z. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to think of one thing. We're going to take our last break, Joe. We're going to go back to the this great John Garner vocal on the song that started this whole thing off with the Sir Lord Baltimore. So for Joe D. Ray Guarino, we're going to take our last break on Motormouth Radio.
Crank it up.
Yeah, check this out and see if you can sing along, because it's going to be kind of interesting. I've been working on that vocal. It ain't working for me. We'll be back in a minute. Check this.
This is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music. And I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Joe, I learned one thing. A woman is a hellhound.
Ah! Oh, yes. We all know one or two of them later.
Oh. Listen to that guitar work.
Well.
Like the Chambers Brothers. Time.
Oh, yes.
Well, that was our featured group of the week, Sir Lord Baltimore. Thank you from our musical correspondent, Joe D, this week.
Yeah,
that's all
yeah.
it takes to get me to go well, and research a band.
That's more like the... You know, Captain Flashback is basically it.
And it was the flashback in your head that caused it to happen. So you see,
they're not all
bad things, Joe.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, you know, this one didn't involve any fire extinguishers or hazmat suits or anything like that. So I guess it worked out to be a good thing.
I made a lot of woofers woof heavily and tweeters tweet mightily with my review of that.
This is definitely a speaker ripper.
Yeah, that was, you know what? I love finding stuff like that that's just... That lost gem, the song that you just didn't, you know, that was never in my wheelhouse at all. I had no idea. When you said Sir Lord Baltimore, I thought it was something out of Monty Python. It could have been anything.
Right, right. Well,
until I looked it up and said, hey, this is real.
I have to credit my old guitar player for that. He's
keep it coming.
He just came. I had not seen him run like that. You know, I mean, like we were kids. We were like what, 15, something like that.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you got to hear these guys. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, then he proceeded to blow out my speakers, but that's okay.
I'd be curious to know how he found them, because I know how I've found some obscure stuff over the years, and it's probably all the same stuff. But I got to say one thing. I think. as far as this show goes, you know, we do, as witnessed by the calls today, we do like to disseminate automotive information. We like to help people.
Yeah.
Get, you know, share what we know. But it's also, I think there's been another little benefit here. It's gotten me and you back into music a little more, something that kind of lapsed a little because work and life and things take precedent. And to me,
not to mention I can't hear worth a damn anymore because it's play things like music like that. But that's all right.
Yeah, stood in front of that Ampeg a little too long, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, internal organs have been moved around, stuff like that.
The band I was in for the longest amount of time. I talked about this. We had a singer who fashioned himself like a John Garnett. He kind of sang the same way, and he thought that he was like God's gift, he would scream. And, you know, he cranked the gain of the mic up and just right to and scream into it. And we're like, dude, just like bring it down a little, you know?
Back it off a bit,
he thought he was great. And we're not so much.
Sometimes loud doesn't necessarily mean good.
No.
It works for some guys, not everybody,
right.
You know? But Let's face it, unfortunately, it's like damaged the crap out of my hearing because now I have to have, like, I'm listening for relays to click.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like switches and stuff like
and
that.
You hear and that when there's no noise.
And I'm like,
right?
Because I'm in the shop, I'm like, okay, everybody shut up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I'm trying to listen for a relay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't hear nothing. Like, you can't hear that?
You know what? You know, maybe we got to design one of these things. Just like they have relay test sockets, we could probably take a relay test socket that overlays the relay and on the trigger lead, wire up a little buzzer.
Yeah.
So when it triggers, you get a buzz, a beep, whatever tone, your tone of choice. Our tone of choice besides dial is this one. So let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're all the motor mouths.
How you doing today? It's Joe.
Hey.
What's up, Joe?
Just two things. You're talking about music. Brings me back a couple of months ago. You were coming out with one-liners. I thought I was the only one crazy enough to listen to that. Was it a lobster, then I flounder, or whatever that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's not above us.
All right, and also back to the tire pressure. Now, I don't know. I'm always, you know, I've had the more luxury side cars, and they're usually, how should I say, they downsize the tire pressure for comfort.
Oh, to make it softer, yeah.
Yeah. So which is better, in you guys, in your mind, keeping with the tire or keeping with the car?
Okay.
I would stay with the car.
Yeah, and what I do is this in my own cars. I always think a little bit of a range is okay. I do overinflate my tires by maybe 1 to 2 PSI. Chris used to do it like 4 to 5, which I don't go that far, but I will go 1 to 2. Like my daughter was doing a trade show this weekend, so she's going to load up the RAV4. So I kicked hers up a couple extra pounds for the extra weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a big sidewall, so she's not on those little rubber bands.
Reduced rolling resistance.
Yeah.
The newer cars, though, basically what you got to remember is that they spend a lot of time. The car companies spend a lot of time in conjunction with the tire companies to come up with what they consider to be a good ride.
Right, correct.
And what happens is a lot of the stuff, a lot of the concerns, like I had a family member who was looking at a particular car, and it had like 20-inch wheels.
Eesh.
And she was like, she remembers me saying, oh, those things ride so hard, there's no rubber, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, engineering being what it is, and the car company taking that into account, and they designed the shocks and the springs and so forth, and she took it for a ride, and the thing rides great.
Well, that's it, if it's an OEM setup, So,
So as far as that goes, yeah, I would stick with the factory tire pressure. Couple pounds either way tops.
Yeah.
Then you start
exactly
aggravating the tire pressure monitor system.
If you have different tires than what came on the car original, what you can do is go to that tire manufacturer's site and look up the tire. They usually give you specs. The big guys will give you specs on their tires as well.
Yes.
So Joe, let me ask you, what type of a tire pressure gauge do you typically use or do you favor?
Well, I picked up the emergency battery jumper thing or whatever. So I just plug in, I just
use the gas, the tire gauge on that. So
I plug it in.
If it needs it, I throw the switch. If not, I move to the next tire.
Okay. Well, before that, let's say, you know, going back in the day, what did you use carrying the glove box or keeping your toolbox? What type of gauge?
Oh, if I could find it, you know, just whatever at the shop, you know, in the auto parts store or something like that, you know, either a pen gauge.
Right, the pencil type, yeah.
Something like that.
Right, got it.
Of course, I always wind up losing stuff, so it winds up being feel. You know, if I'm rocking from corner to corner, then I got to check the tires.
Right, right. No, I understand. Yeah, okay. No, because people have choices. You know, when we talk about tools, I've always favored a dial type gauge, and that's my favorite. That's what I've been using now, the same one for the last 30 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's easier to read than the pencil gauge. You don't have to turn it to find the corresponding mark. But you know, there's a lot of, I have a digital one too that my issue with the digital is, and you want to talk about being like on the edge of nerdiness. Okay, you set the tires.
You are a tire nerd, right? Let's face it.
Well, here we go. Follow me. The tire is supposed to be set at 32 psi. You check it with the digital gauge. It says 30. Okay, I need 2 pounds. So you put the air chuck on. You bring it up. You put the gauge on, and it says 33. So now you bring some air down, and it says 32. Are you at 32.1, or are you at 32.9? You don't know where in that full pound of difference you're at, and that bothers me. On a dial gauge, I could see it. I'm a tick off the mark, or if I'm a tick off the mark the other way.
Right.
So you see my logic
there? Ray has the most accurate tires in the entire Nassau County.
I still change them like everybody else does.
I always like the ones that have the stop find, you know, the ones that have a marker that will stay there.
Right.
You can actually bring it into the cabin where you can actually use the light.
Oh, nice. I haven't used one. Yeah, well, now I got to make sure I got my glasses on, and do I have, like, it's like Indiana Jones in the Temple. I need the Temple of Doom. I need the sun hitting 3 pyramids in my neighbor's chimney to hit down right where I'm looking so I can get the right amount of light.
Right, right.
Yeah, right. And then when you get enough light, you find that you're in a pit full of snakes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, of course.
Yes,
yeah.
You've definitely been christened a tire geek and a brake geek.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you, but that don't make you bad person.
I'll wear those badges. I tell you what, because you know, I truly believe in what I'm doing. So in that case, I think that's when you should, you know, expound those things, because it's, you know,
Stuff like that makes your tires last longer. You know what I mean? While you're at, you could look at see if they're wearing unevenly or cupped or you know, one side or something like that. You know,
that's one of the reasons why I try and keep a little bit more than the suggested, because like I've sometimes doing the sale routine or whatever.
Right.
I've had it where, you know, I'll watch the front tires to see if there's uneven wear from side to side. But the, you know, if it's a low pressure just for the ride, my wallet doesn't really like paying at the pump.
No. Oh, yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. No, that's why they've done the research on it, you know, and
you know,
a different type of tire may come up with a different specification.
You look at the CCA rating on the tire, and that's the big thing. I've done tests on my own cars where I ran on purpose. I've run lower pressure and higher pressure, and even that air dam that's under the front of the car, like on my Mazda, that's supposed to help. I've run with that off to see if my mileage changed, and none of that really changed my mileage appreciably, and I do check it all the time, so I have a lot of data. So, you know, I don't know. I think in good practice, you do what you believe in, and that's it. You know, it's, and then let everybody else do what they like, and, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't forget, a lot of those mileage-adding devices are there because the car company has to say to the government, look, we're trying, we got an extra tenth of a mile a gallon from this, and you got another half a mile a gallon from that. And, you know, whether they actually see that at the pump, they don't care because it passed the EPA testing.
Right.
So who cares, you know?
Exactly. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate your input on that. That's always a topic that's near and dear to our pressure meters on this show.
We are tire guys.
Yeah, well, I definitely have plenty of stories or questions, so.
Well, keep them coming.
Yeah, by all means, yeah.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye. Mark was asking about if higher tire pressure will actually give you better mileage because of less resistance. That's the theory.
Yeah.
You also, at some point, lose traction because
your contact patch is different. You know, that kind of stuff these days, because of the way that the newer stuff is calibrated for the vehicle, it doesn't hold as true as it used to. You know, would I screw with it?
Radials versus bias ply. There's your big thing right there. Radials are more efficient.
Yeah, they've done a lot of research for us already. Right. Can we do more? Yeah. Is it the be all and end all? Definitely not.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. We're going to do some research this week. We're going to research some new music. We're going to research new guests. We're going to see who can get. We don't have anybody planned for next week, but I do still have four people in the wings.
In the clouds.
Waiting to drop down. So hopefully one of them will come down. And until then.
And by the way, if anybody's got any suggestions, email us at monomouthradio@acc.edu.
Absolutely.
We're always willing to entertain ideas. If we have a little bit of notice, who knows what we can come up with.
Or send us a link on Twitter at Motormouth Radio. And until then, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. Stay tuned, Thunder Road, with Kim Tracy, and we'll see you next week.
We're going to go rest. Take care.
Bye.